Forex Fridays, only on Money FM 89.3.
Welcome back to Forex Fridays, and the next coming months might be interesting, not just for the U.S. dollar amidst tightening monetary policy, but also a number of other currencies in the Asia-Pacific and commodity complex. On one hand, you do have the Chinese yuan hanging tough despite some of those discouraging GDP figures coming out of the world's second largest economy. And of course, exports still seeming rather resilient for certain powerhouses like South Korea, Taiwan, and even Singapore. We also want to take stock of the ASEAN reopening and also commodity prices. Prices rising and which currencies might benefit the most from this trend. Today on Forex Fridays, we're joined once again after a long time by Mr. Jeffrey Haley, the senior market analyst at Owando, who will help us take stock of what's worth tracking across these various currency complexes, that is. Jeff, it's really good to hear from you. Thanks for joining us. Glad to hear you and your loved ones are still safe and in good health during these times. And we'll do welcome back to the show, sir. I hope you're having a good Friday.
Yeah, wonderful. Thanks very much, JP. It is wonderful to be back after a bit of an absence.
Absolutely. And a lot of things really happening. But a lot of the news really coming out of China this week, marked specifically by those softer GDP figures that disappointed expectations. There's still a little bit of worry also surrounding China Evergrande and also those ongoing energy shortages. There's a lot of problems and potential headwinds. Despite this, though, as I mentioned, the Chinese yuan hanging tough and looking fairly resilient and strong. What do you think has been supporting the currency out there despite some of these potential bogeys for the Chinese economy?
Well, part of the reason the yuan is rallying is because of a dollar weakness that we've seen over the last week, but also on a trade-weighted basis, it's at multi-year highs. So a lot of the rally in the yuan is actually based on other parts of the basket, such as the Singapore dollar, euro, sterling, et cetera, and they have been weakening for the last couple of months against the US dollar. That has obviously changed in the last week or so as US earnings have performed much, much better than expected. And most importantly, the outlooks for those firms for 2022 don't look to have been materially downgraded. And in fact, most of the times they've upgraded them. It suggests that this inflationary pressures we're seeing through the economy economies worldwide, they're going to be able to pass on those price increases to their customers into 2022. So yes, we've definitely seen some yuan strength because of weakness and other components of the basket, but also the PBOC, and we had one official this morning mentioning that they felt that the currency was fairly priced, it was neutral. And so there doesn't seem to be any concern from the PBOC. They would normally signal that via the daily dollar CNY fixings. There doesn't seem to be any concern by them about the appreciation of the yuan as well. And it does actually play to China's advantage because most energy is priced and transacted in US dollars. The stronger the yuan is, the less US dollars they're going to have to buy. And on the face of it, they are going to be having to buy a lot of imported energy to get through this winter if we circle back to those energy shortages that you were talking about.
So that neatly brings us to the ongoing commodity price surge boom, especially among energy prices. These have been trending higher come hell or high water, really. And from oil to iron ore to palm oil, we've seen them all have these sudden spurts. Of course, the volatility across some of these minerals overall. This is a broad complex, the commodity FX space. Which one might be worth watching, given the fact that you've highlighted how important China's role will be in perhaps shaping where commodity prices move?
I think a key to this is actually going to be how cold the Northern Hemisphere winter is. Mm-hmm. And that's not just China that gets scooped up into that. That's South Korea, that's India, which is also having energy shortages at the moment. That's Japan, that's the United States, that's Europe. And if we have a cold winter and those energy consumption requirements go up, then we are going to see more upward pressure on the US dollar that will almost certainly feed through to weakness in some currencies such as the Korean won and possibly the Taiwanese dollar and the Japanese yen as well, which is normally trading on a yield differential basis. But I think some of these energy issues are certainly causing some of the weakness in the yen as well. I think the currencies that will outperform in this quarter are going to be those much more closely aligned to the commodity complex. And that is, you know, your Malaysian ringgits and particularly the Indonesian rupiah. So they should be semi-sheltered from these because their exports will be boosted by these ever-rising prices in commodities, as you said, oil and gas, industrial metals and things like palm oil, etc. So it'll really be a game of two halves in ASEAN. I think the underlying, another point to really be, your listeners should be looking out for is the Fed taper trade. Now, the US dollar rallied because the expectations of the Fed tapering in November rose very sharply. That's been sort of drowned out in the meantime by the power of the US earnings season that we're seeing at the moment. But that hasn't gone away, and I think that will make its presence felt in Q4 once earnings season has passed in the United States. It's probably going to be a headwind for most ASEAN currencies, but in the context of what I talked about before, there'll be some large losers and some smaller losers in that trade. Overall, I'm looking for ASEAN currencies to weaken, but those that have a much more closely tied basis to exporting key commodities, they're going to outperform the large importers.
Now, ASEAN currencies might be expected to weaken. However, we are also bracing for a broader reopening across the region. So, you know, also out in Jakarta, there are plans to start easing restrictions if they haven't already. This being seen also in Thailand, Malaysia, and in some parts of the Philippines also. Now, could this be a shot on the arm for regional currencies? Or do you think that this will have a middling or perhaps just a menial impact in terms of giving some of these currencies that are facing downside a bit of a boost?
I think the biggest winner out of this will be the Thai baht, because tourism is 20% of Thailand's economy. Now, that doesn't mean that the Thai baht's going to appreciate, but the rot may stop because of it. Now, the reason I say this is because Thailand is basically throwing open the doors to vaccinated travellers. They're desperate to get tourism going again. There'll be no quarantines. You'll be able to fly into Bangkok or Phuket or wherever you're going and just go and enjoy your holiday if you are vaccinated. And I think if there's a cold northern hemisphere winter, we may see more of those people heading south for Thailand for some winter sun. So I think that they will be the biggest beneficiary out of this. Malaysia less so, although they have signaled that they are looking at opening the doors to foreign visitors next month. Indonesia is opening up Bali again, but no international flights are going there. And part of the reason, I think, for Malaysia and Indonesia's issues, and possibly for the Philippines as well, which is not such a huge international tourism destination as yet, is that they still have quarantine restrictions, and there's still quite a lot of restrictions on how to get a visa and what you have to do and the amount of insurance that you have to have, et cetera, et cetera. I think they're going to have to follow Thailand's example, obviously allowing only vaccinated travellers in. But if this is a competition in Asia, and Thailand has set that bar quite high. I mean, even Vietnam is opening up Phu Quoc, I believe, very shortly as well. So I think this is why there hasn't been such a strong positive flow through to ASEAN currencies. But if I was to pick one out of all of those that's going to benefit the most, I would say it would be the Thai baht.
Absolutely. And while we await for this trend to develop, the reopening of the ASEAN economies, there's one resilient trend we've also noticed in the last couple of months. We did also mention that one of the few bright spots in China were strong exports, but they're not the only ones actually in the region. From South Korea to Taiwan and even Singapore, all three posting encouraging exports growth and no signs of a significant slowdown in either. Is this a bullish case for the set of exporter foreign currencies, if for lack of a better term? And do you think that they might get some meaningful, sustainable upside for this set of trio, at least, of FXs?
I think it's going to be a hard sell, that one. And the reason why is because although exports are rising, the cost of inputs to make those exports is also rising. And in some cases, it's rising at higher prices than what they can charge on the way out. Also, as you've alluded to, and we read every day, there are these severe blockages in the global supply chains, disruptions. Semiconductor shortages aren't going away anytime soon as well. And we're seeing PPI inflation running at very, very high levels and increasing. So that will increase the costs of production for these exports. So it becomes a little bit of a zero-sum game. It's good news for general consumption and for the employment and for the economy overall that exports are rising in all these countries. But I don't necessarily think it will translate to stronger currencies because of those rising inputs to make those exports offsetting the gains that they're making on the other side of the equation. I think the currencies that will do well are those that are making the things that have to come out of the ground and actually get sent off to make those higher valued exports. And in that case, we've circled back again, once again, to countries such as Indonesia and Malaysia.
So inflation, as we know, Jeff, very, very prominent, not just in the Forex space, but also across many asset classes. I'd like to get your outlook on one of those old reliable inflation hedges, gold. Now, their status as being an inflation hedge is being checked by those rising rates, and even some who've actually said that Bitcoin might be a better hedge against gold. What is your outlook on gold? Will inflationary pressures lift all of these hedges up, or you think gold might get left behind in what might be a potential changing of the guard in terms of inflation hedges of choice?
Yeah, well, let's start with Bitcoin. I think with Bitcoin and the crypto space in general, what tends to happen is that they fit facts around the price action. So Bitcoin's going up and inflation's going up, so immediately Bitcoin is an inflation hedge. I don't believe that 99.9% of people who are buying Bitcoin or cryptos are doing it as an inflation hedge or against the debasement of money, so to speak. I think they're buying it today because they think they can sell it tomorrow and make a pile of money. So I think gold's role has changed in this whole equation. And I think for my own opinion is that gold is still an inflation hedge, but only for very high inflation. We're talking 10% plus inflation. If you live in Turkey or Venezuela, you might have a good reason to buy gold to hedge against inflation, for example. But I think for the developed world and for most of Asia, I mean, it still remains a store of wealth, and the reasons for that for gold go back thousands of years. But as an inflation hedge, I think it's quite minor at the moment. And we can see that with its correlation or negative correlation with rising US rates and the rising of the US currency itself. And gold has been under pressure for some time because of those two factors. The short-term technical picture actually for gold is looking quite positive at the moment. But I think in the medium term, going into later parts of Q4, it's going to struggle to hold above 1800 because it has shown a very close inverse correlation. In fact, probably the best inflation hedge right now is to buy US dollars because the Fed is the key for monetary policy around the world. Where it goes, the rest eventually have to follow as the largest economy in the world, et cetera, et cetera. And I believe that the US dollar will rise as this Fed taper reality starts getting priced into the market once again in Q4, once US earnings season is over.
Interesting thoughts there. We'll have to leave it at that. I'd like to thank Jeffrey Haley, Senior Market Analyst for Awanda, for joining us today on Forex Fridays here on Money FM 89.3. After all these months, Jeff, it's a pleasure to have you with us again on the show. And as always, I wish you and your loved ones continued health and safety during these times. And we look forward to next time you can join us on the show. Stay safe, Jeff, and hope you have a great weekend.
Yes, it's been an honor to be here, and thanks very much, JP.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.